Okay, that now. Thank you very much, honorable members. Let's take the opportunity to welcome another team from the National Department of Human Settlements, led by the CFO. We are going to receive a report, the first quarter report, 1732 report, an expenditure, quarterly expenditure report from April to June. Let me give the opportunity to the CFO to present the report before the portfolio committee. Thank you.
Honorable Chair, thank you very much, and honorable members, good afternoon. Chair, let me start by rendering an apology for the Director General, who was actually called for the sudden meeting by the Minister, and he is accompanied by the DDG, PNU, and Acting DDG Strategy and Planning. So to that effect, Chair, I'm also rendering an apology for the DDG PMU as well as the Acting DDG, Mr. Gianni. Chair, I must actually indicate that the preference representation is twofold in such a way that it consists of non-financial information for the GODA, as the Chair has indicated, as well as the financial matters that will actually complement the non-financial information that will be presented by the COO. And that will be the beginning of the presentation. So I must also indicate upfront that while we just had a discussion with the Chair, I will skip the performance information relative to the current situation, and Chair, at the end of the period, will be in a better position to can indicate why we will not be presenting the current scenario of the performance, and then we'll stick to the third quarter as requested by Portfolio Committee. Chair, on that note, and with the members of the office that are present, the office of the DDG is represented, and earlier on, Chairperson, you will recall that we had two members that are specifically dealt or eligible to deal with the matters of AG, had to form part of the meeting with the AG and the Portfolio Committee, and they are also forming part of this. General Chairperson, the team as it stands is representing the department with the mandate, and we will be ready to take questions. And if the Chair allows, I will hand over to the COO to start the presentation, and I will conclude with the financial matters that will run through.
Just to clarify what she is saying is that there's an additional information that has been brought forward, which includes the second quarter performance, which is July, August, September. So I indicated to her that initially we requested the department to present the first quarter and the second quarter, as we are busy with the BRR. Apparently, we received a message from the department that the minister has given a directive that the second quarter should not come before us because it has not yet been verified by her. So that is why I think they must not present it. Let's stick to the first quarter. If you look at our program, that is, we have reviewed our program and we have taken out the second quarter report in our program. So I want to concentrate on first quarter report, which is April, May, June. You are so trying to clarify that. Thank you. Continue, sir.
Thank you very much, Chair. Over to the COO.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members, good afternoon. The performance of the department for the first quarter 2013-14, the overall achievement by the National Department stands claimed the 65%.
This means that the department had 118 targets that were planned for the first quarter under review, and 77 targets were achieved, while 41 targets were not achieved. The next slide is the demonstration in terms of the pie chart, the performance of the department under the first quarter. I must indicate here, Chairperson, that when you compare our first quarter performance as a department with the previous financial year, there is a slight improvement. During the last financial year, in the first quarter, our performance stood at 63%, and this financial year, we are standing at 65%. Chairperson, the targets which were not achieved, we did not include them here, as we saw the presentation that was going to be bumpy, but we'll be guided by the committee. If the committee wants us to talk on the non-achieved targets. Now, in terms of the reasons why we did not achieve 100% of the performance of the department, the following are the reasons that we have experienced as a department. Chairperson and the committee will recall that we are still engaging with the CETA in terms of what their expectation in terms of the service delivered to the department. This still continues. Last month, there was also an attempt for the DG to meet with the CEO of the CETA, but that did not succeed. What we want to do here with the department, we are still engaging with the leadership of the CETA in order for us to sign the revised service level agreement. They will also enforce the CETA to comply so that our performance is improved. And the second part that we will do as well, the Director General saw it fit that he needs to indicate to the leadership of the CETA in person in terms of the decision that the department has taken for the non-performance of the CETA. And that decision talks to the decision that indicates that as a department, we are now going to move forward, to move away from the CETA agreement on the services where we feel that they have not performed to our satisfaction. And we will engage, or we will source the services from the private sector, because we cannot year in, year out keep on citing the CETA issue. This is a decision of the department that we have taken. The second challenge that we have is the non-availability of a suitable land for the human settlement development in the provinces. What we have done here is to enhance our communication with the provinces, because we do have the HDA, whose core function is to source the suitable land for human settlement development. Going forward, let me indicate, Chairperson, that what we will do now is that our entities, which include the HDA, will also form part of the technical mainnet agenda, so that there is proper coordination. We can see where the shortfalls are. There will be no more misunderstandings. The third bullet talks to the insufficient active monitoring presence in provinces and methods to monitor and verify performance of the HSDG and the USDG and the delivery. In this regard, the department is addressing this issue. During the financial year, we should be able to see the improvement going forward. The second slide talks to the internal challenges that we have that hampered our delivery in the first quarter. Chairperson, you will recall that we had a high vacancy rate and we undertook to fill the vacancies as speedily as possible. However, there was a challenge that we had in terms of the verification of the qualifications by SACA. Let me also indicate that we have successfully managed to sign the service level agreement that is going to enhance
or improve the turnaround time by the SASPA. Previously, we would wait for the verification of the qualification in excess of 2 months. But now we have signed the third level agreement that has already been implemented, and the turnaround time from now on going forward is going to be within 2 days. So we have already seen the improvement in this area. Let me just go to the first slide. The process in terms of the filling of the vacancies, we are targeting the senior management, because senior management also must participate in the recruitment of their subordinates. And in terms of the vacancy rate, just to indicate how serious the department is taking this issue with, on a weekly basis, the vacancy rate is being presented at the executive management level, where the progress is being monitored. The last bullet indicates that the status as at the end of the first quarter, where we had 210 vacant posts that we had not filled. But out of the 210, the 155 are already in the process of being filled, and that constitutes 74% of our vacancies. So this is an indication of the progress that we are making as a department in filling of the vacancies. But also must indicate, Chairperson, that this figure also includes the people that are resigning even during this current financial year. But I'm positive that we will be able to fill this as speedily as possible, since also the SACA issue has been resolved. The next area of our remedial measures to put in place in order to improve our performance speaks to the compulsory training on bid specifications, evaluation and adjudication from the level of the assistant direct upwards. This is an area that has been highlighted as a shortcoming by the department, where our terms of reference were not responding to what we wanted to achieve when we appointed the service provider, and there was inconsistency. So the training has been done, and also there is a bid specification committee that has been established, which looks at all the terms of reference before we go and source the services that the department wants to source. We have addressed the challenges relating to the intergovernmental collaborations as they impact on policy development processes and service delivery. Chairperson, let me indicate here that in order for us to deliver also in the development of the policies, there is a requirement that we need to engage with our stakeholders, and we are enhancing in this area. Also, there is an improved compliance by the provincial departments and the usefulness of the HSS data. Chairperson, this point also talks to the delivery of CETA, as we want to make sure that all the provincial departments are making use of the HSS. The next remedial action that we have undertaken as a department is the sufficient monitoring presence in the provinces and the metros in order to reduce the turnaround time in the collection of information on performance. We have approved guidelines to standardize and guide the implementation of the PHP across the sector. We have gone on a full-scale implementation of the Departmental Auditor General Action List. This talks to the recurring non-compliance issues that have been cited by the Office of the Auditor General. Part of the remedial action, what we are doing here as a department, is that as we review our quarterly performance as a department per branch, we also include the issue of the areas that have been highlighted by the Office of the Auditor General, so that we address the recurring areas of non-compliance. The next slide, Chairperson, at a high level, because the CFO is going to touch on it in detail. This is the departmental expenditure versus the performance target. We saw it fit that we need to reflect on this so that it provides an indication of the performance of the branch and also how much financial resources we use to achieve the very same target and the period, which is the first quarter of 2013-14. The last column is an indication of the targets that we achieved per branch. Again, what we are doing in terms of the non-achieved targets per branch is that we compile the performance improvement then, which gets monitored on a monthly basis going forward. And the department has taken a decision that in cases where there are targets which have not been achieved during the third quarter, let us make sure that during the next quarter we also achieve those targets so that it improves our performance going forward. So every quarter we go back and say, what is it that has not been achieved? Have we achieved it? So that we report accordingly. In terms of communications outreach, these are the following communication and outreach that has taken place during the first quarter. The citation week was held in Ward 5 in Khayelitsha, and there was a launch of a split project in May 2013, and the community engagement or the budget vote in Danun was also successful. This was done in order to empower the communities in terms of the budgeting processes within the department and how does it talk to the delivery on the ground. The next slide, Chairperson, talks to the outcome aid, the performance of the outcome aid. Let me indicate here that in certain areas of our performance around outcome aid, some of the information is accumulative. We've been reporting on it on accumulative with a view of the 2014 target, and some of them we have been able to be specific to say this is what was achieved or what was delivered during the first quarter, and also has made an indication of what is the percentage towards the 2014 target. In terms of the number of households provided with upgraded services, as of the 30 June 2013, this is accumulative. 188,056 households benefited from this program. And this represents 47% of the 2014 target. When you include the USDG, the performance of the USDG, the figure increases to 255,621 households. And in percentage, this represents 63.9%. Over the same period, the provinces delivered 192,253 formal housing units to households in informal settings. In terms of the upgrading of informal settlements, this is reflected in terms of the province, and it provides the information or the target of 2014 and the delivery, which is April to June, which is the first quarter. And then the next column where it says total delivery 30 June, this is now accumulative. And then the last column represents the percentage in terms of the 2014 target. For example, Chairperson, if we can start with the Eastern Cape, the first province, the 2014 target is 59,440, and what was delivered during the third quarter was 647 informal settlements upgraded, and the total delivery up to date is 23,247 informal settlements being upgraded, and in total this represents 39.1% of the 2014 target.
So it goes on per province. The next slide, Chairperson, it is accumulated. It is cumulative. This is the upgrading of informal settlements using the USDG. In terms of the Eastern Cape, delivered 5,144,000 housing units, and the number of services provided, this is like water and sanitation, 14,975. And in terms of rentals, the performance of the Eastern Cape was 470 units. So it goes on, Chairperson, Eastern Cape, Free State, Southern Cape, and Western Cape. And in total, we got 16,091 housing units. In terms of space, water, and citation, we've got 67,000 in total, 572, and rental 4,169. The next slide also is being presented accumulatively. This is the upgrading of informal settlements, including the USDG. We've got it to the Eastern Cape. It's a province, sorry. We are presenting this information per province in relation to the 2014 target. And when we include the USDG and the percentage of the 2014 target. For example, in the Eastern Cape, the target is...
On page 6, on slide 11, we've got slide 11. Outcome is upgrading of informal settlement. Fine. Which fund are you using? Because up and down, you are utilizing USDG. Now we're not having to talk today. But we're the foot on slide 13. We're in the upgrading of informal settlement, including USDG. We're open to your app. Umahluko ku-slide 12 no-13 kuphi nje ku-11 12 13 nje wonke nje khawukuhlale apha kuye sizohamba kahle sonke sishiya
thank you, Chairperson. If I can go slightly back to slide 11. These are the number of units the housing units that were delivered have problems using a grant funding. Yes. Yes. Yes.
When?
It's from the beginning of the outcome 8, which is April
2009.
Your target and women in a guy within the human settlement sector in women in a guy. Vele ani vumelananga, that was set by the president.
Yes.
On the upgrading of informal settlements, you must be careful. Interpretation. On the upgrading of informal settlement. Ne? That was 400,000.
Yes.
Now, you have allocated each province is going to deliver what we are seeing there, which is under 2014 target. Ne? Under informal settlements upgrading. It was there on parole. Now, you have delivered 4,244. What have you delivered there? Have you delivered units to the house is a PLL and a top start? 4,000 from April to June. Funa nicho. Then it is a total deliver as of 30th June, 188, which means that from the informal segments expected delivery, we have delivered 188 from 2009 or from when?
From 2009, the outcome-based approach was
continued. All right. I hope you understand again the portion. I think we're going to slide 2. So, it's out there. Don't know if I'm going to come in no time as choice, because we love to be. And so, the city, I'm going to outcome-based upgrading of informal, which is finally set an USDG grant. They told us. That is why we come again with that procedure. Oh, we need to up and we need to say in Google app, USDG grant, that is your delivery under USDG, of which we will get e-housing units that you have delivered, 16,000. As of 30th June. Let me say, services, like water and sanitation, we have delivered 67 what? Services. So, each land of our president, 400 households plus the provision of tenure, security tenure. It can happen in the report, okay? But even from my guide to the it different. Because in the upper slide 13, you have delivered 257. You are adding 188 plus 67. Ne? 188 plus 67. You come up with 2555. Am I correct, number? Yes. Alright, okay. So, it's the only achievement in. After catching his visit, he was a bully question. Then, say, I was like 14, I think like 14, then, but we are going to need to send any fucking notes and a half. You say, understand? Yeah. I can see if I was like 14. One was a samba, so I can.
Okay, let me just clarify the slide 12. Where we said accumulative, this is the performance, the delivery of the metros within these provinces. Eastern Cape, Free State, Gauteng, KZN, and in Western Cape.
You mean to say, when a province is reported to yourself, the reporting of UNDG is different. We know it should be different, but now the total unit of that province, I choose from that particular province. Here is the delivery of the housing units. Here is the number of the delivered sites from a province, provincial perspective. So I will call double counting on this. Because now you have put upgrade of informal settlement. Jim or emotional from which budget. But up and down again. Do you mean I will put double counting from flight 12 and flight 11? There's a lot of other things. See, Rungi, silent. You see, 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 see,
Chair, there is no double counting. Chairperson, you will recall that we had indicated previously that there is an element of under counting. So that's why then we have separated the delivery in each area. But there is no double counting here.
In your report, where the layman he was laying, who's like Levin, who represents AP budget. See, also will be delayed. From informal settlement upgrading, there's the figure that is delivered from 2009, which is 188,000. We are all in agreement. Of which Tina and Basla Panji, the data for granted, which are 188, is the delivery on upgrading of informal settlement. Irrespective of what grant have you used. Now we're going to Zaga, Shegu, Utigenguna, from EUSDG grant, we have delivered 67 sites, service sites, then 16,000 from ESDG only, housing units. The most of it, I call dual double counting now. Who will use the wealth gallery? So I call that a new ESDG again. Including the USDG, we have delivered in total 255, which means 188 plus 67, we need 255. Explain that. Because I don't understand.
So let's put it this way. I think from the beginning, we've all known that the 400,000 is household benefited, which I think we need to correct because it may not be units. It's the number of households that benefited, as said by the president then. What we are indicating in the very same first slide, which is upgrading of informal settlements from the USDG and inclusive of HSDG at the start, because what we did, we said there is no point of us saying it's only the USDG that the household are benefiting. Now we brought back the issue of the USDG to date, which is 30 June 2013, which is the previous financial year. Now the first line that we're saying is that while we had a target of 400,000 of households to benefit, to date we have, including both the HSDG and the USDG, 188,056 households have benefited within 400. But as we move further, because the delivery, the second column, you know, the third column, which is delivered April to date, the reason why we have separated it is because of the request by the committee to say what have you done in this order. So now 4,244 households have benefited
during the 2013 financial year. But if you take that and accumulative, then you've got a total of 188, which we all agree with. The reason why we're also putting the percentage, we are just saying to ourselves, how much of the percentage are we towards the 2014 target? Meaning we are at 47, and we are not proud because we have not achieved the 50% or the most, or the 75% at the most, that we want to achieve. Now, we start to go on to say, and Chairperson, I think it goes back to your question to say, are we not double counting or are we not under counting? But because of the fact that the US is into the picture, we heard that there are a number of households that are benefiting through self-sites, sanitation. So intrusively, and you will also recall that within the very same framework of the USD, there are metros that have actually utilized the USD for some structures, which we actually contribute, which would contribute to the outcome aid. So that's the combination of the two grants through the upgrade of informal settlements in terms of units and in terms of the households that have benefited, as well as the households that have benefited in terms of the sites and services, as we put it very clear to see, including USDG for safety, and that's now sites, water and sanitation. So if correctly, Chair, like I say, if you take the 67 for this quarter from the USDG, together with the 188, you get a total of 255. And I think the analogy is very correct. It's only that perhaps we may have missed each other, but we are almost in the same page. But there is no double counting, Chairperson. The reason why we had to, sorry, I'm playing around with slides because I've got an advantage of sitting with it here. The reason why we had actually highlighted the issue of the house units, that comes from the fact that portion of the USD through those metros was used for top structures. If the chair and the committee members understand that. So we're actually giving a breakdown of what I'm saying is, the reason why we are saying housing units as extracted from this as a separate band, to say while we say USDG is infrastructure based, portion of the money has also been used for the development of the job structures because it's additional.
You know, it's the day when we had the meeting, I think the CFO was there. They were talking about how the USDG was utilized in Mangau, where they built a reservoir. And now if the first step, of course, there is no housing unit. Yeah, maybe I should have let him to ask what you want to ask. If I'm not very clear on something, Chair, sometimes you become...
And the confusion. The issue of households, you know, the reporting, it's a problem. You can't, when it's suits you to say the president says we must make sure that 400,000 households via upgraded informal settlement, they are benefiting from that in upgrading. And then they provide a security and ten. When you are reporting, you report in terms of units that you have delivered. The correlation, you know, we align agenda in the presidential announcement, la household, the unit. But it's, when you are outside, what kind of people now take up as a politician? So how do you align in your reporting the households? Because you can't say you have provided so many units. It means if you have provided 400,000 units, you have provided more, which is correct. There's nothing wrong on that. Because we still expect you to deliver more from outside the informal settlement. The green fields, ne? Your green fields. So it that one is outside the informal settlement. Because those people, you move them out, that's 2.0, that's 12 million. Is it 12 million? By then, that 12 million of people who are in informal settlements, if they are taking 400,000, you still have another group that does not belong to that 12 million that you need to provide houses, ne? Which means you will find yourself go beyond that 400. Because I'm a homeland, honorable members, when we begin 2009, some of you will recall, the department used to deliver 500,000 annually. Now, because of the announcement by the president, the department said, no, we are going to deliver 200. And we fought with the department because we said, no way. Then they aligned themselves with the 400,000 that relates to the informal settlement. So But at the same time, if something has to be rectified, we need to rectify that. We report correctly. The money is under some color. The money that.
Chair, I think you are raising a very legitimate concern, because there is, I was far ahead, but I've tracked a little bit, because of there is a potential of double counting and double dipping in the process. CFO, if you are saying 188 were inclusive of the USDG and the HSDG, did I hear you correct? Then you are saying 67 alone came from the USDG. Now, the 188 that you are referring to, that includes the USDG. Where does that come from? Doesn't it also include the 67 that comes from the USDG? Because officially the 188 includes both the USDG and the HSDG. Can you verify that one? And then lastly, again, is the issue of the top-up structure. I must commend you on trying to try and stratify this thing. But again, on the issue of the provision of the top-up structure, does it mean only on the greenfield or the brownfield? Because if this 192,000 top-up structure, does it include also the non-informal settlements? Then that might mean you have provided more top-up structure, top-up structure inclusive of the upgrading of informal settlements. So you've got 255,000 upgrading plus 192,000 top-up structure, if we hear you correctly. Then just clarify the issue of 188 of the USDG and HSDG plus the 67,000 of the USDG alone.
Because my mind was a little bit confused now. When we say 67,000, and then we will see now service provide site water, not the unit. You see now. No, okay, I'm covered.
We've got 5144 in KB housing units. Then we have got 14,975 in water and sanitation levy sites. Now, you are saying on this side, on slide 13, it is 10 Cape, plus 59,000, this is my own guy's song, about the target I need where my watches are targeting, the commitment, yeah. So far, by end of June, they have delivered 38,000, including USDG, ne? Zavumelana Act. And it? Then you want to, which means the total yako lo 14 plus 5 plus 6, 6%, we will cook a lot of 38. Ne?
6% is for the quarter alone.
Oh, for the quarter alone. For the quarter alone. Then 5144.
It's accumulated.
That's another level of the city that we're going to do. One cumulative, first one for four, ne?
Yes, sir.
No, 14, 9, 7, 5. That's accumulative, right? Plus, equal to the 674. Ne? 647. Open the open for the lay air and tie. And that's back from slide 13. And I'm not for me. No, it will be easier. There's a lot of time in part. So that's what I say. See, I'm right. I'm not going to comment.
Chairperson, I don't want to complicate things any further, but I've just done a quick addition here on slide 12. And I don't know now, it makes me doubt whether perhaps the figures are correct in the others. If you have a look at that first column, housing units, you've got 5144 and 8654. That does not give you a total of 16091. That's the first thing. You get 15798. Now, it looks as if something's got mixed up here. The next column is correct. When you go to the next one, the rental, that actually is 4348, so that column has not been. So I don't know whether these other figures here are all adding up correctly either.
Hey, so I think we are going to complicate this thing further. And I want to complicate it more. But with the understanding that I will open eyes. Okay, this is outcome 8 information. Now, I'm going to drill down further to, and my apologies to do this too.
No, yes, I just want to answer.
Okay. It is slide, I'm not sure that's slide one, but I'm just trying to check. Just for the financial matter, towards the end, my apologies, check. Deliver as it as delivery performance. The reason I'm bringing this slide, person, is just so that we understand, because from the context of your analysis earlier on, as well as issue of the double dipping, double counting, and uncounting. And I must engage here before I can even get to this one to say we've spoken at length with the, we've sort of had a discussion at length with this kind of reporting. To a point that, no, Chairperson, I must be honest with you because we are also found wanting by precedence, particularly on the outcome 8, as far as how to report. And there was also an element of us not counting to a point of where we want to count, meaning we may be counting less. It may well be that we have even reached a 60% of informal settlements that have benefited, or a household. But the issue is, the reason why we have to even bring the issue of the USDGs to the point is the fact that it's an upgrading of informal settlement in the using the USDG. But I've also emphasized that, especially the Eden Cape, which is Nelson Mandela Bay, and I'm going to the point here that they, to say,
what I said yesterday is that we have had issues as far as what the USDG should have actually got in the past 2 years, in such a way that Metros had used the USDG to the advantage of the fact that MIG had used that. And part of it was the issue of the top structure. To a point that we're not as certain as to whether the top structure is the issue of the security of Kenya or the purchase of land. There was that kind of a debate. But the fact that there was an element of some of the units that were reported under the USDG or by Metros during the USDG, that was taken as the upgrading of information in the upgrading of information segment areas. So those kinds of figures, we took them to say they have actually escalated the number of households that have benefited through the USDG and the HSDG, or rather the two grants in general, and they add up to the figures as we go. So we may, it may well be that the 255, it's less or it's more like the members suggest. But I think perhaps to have this kind of discussion, it helps us to go back to the drawing board as a department, including President, because I think there is an element of saying, what is President reporting on behalf of human settlements when we are not there, if we cannot provide the correct information as we suggest. And the discussion of today tells us to say we need to actually be certain as human settlements as what is it that we are reporting, how we are reporting, the certainty of information, the correctness of information as it is labeled on the ground. And we may well be that, again, that perhaps we need to sit around and say together, including the portfolio committee, and we agree to say how are we reporting and how is this information going to be taken forward and be settled, so that when we talk the same language outside and inside the department.
How do you define a household? If that would make it a problem, I'm sure what a household is. You know, and which grant is for which household. But I think that we need to define household.
Just to add to that, as we define the household, can relate it to the house unit, household and the house unit.
Thank you very much. And I think the reason I just skipped this slide, but the Matisa is here from policy perspective. What do we mean by a household? Because a household is categorized as a number. If we say there are 5 people, then that constitutes a household. But when we get to the slide, which I actually thought that I should bring, here, Chairperson, we are giving you the units, not the people that have benefited. That is why I was like bringing today, there must be a distinction between what we are reporting as far as the quantity that we use the USDG for and purchase. Essentially, we are saying we've purchased 4,880 sites in terms of services and 19,000 top structures. But that does not mean that in total 24,249 households have benefited. No. Here it's the units. So that's the kind of a distinction that I wanted to bring.
To that person, just a little more of clarification on this point. Can I then say, when we say there are 10 households, we actually are referring to 10 units. Is that right? There may be more people. We're not talking about people. The 10 households might be, for instance, say about 30 people. But how am I saying? If now you are saying you are provided for 10 households, if you are provided for 10 households, it might mean that you have actually provided 10 units, 10 houses. Is that right?
No,
not really.
No.
Why not? If we define a household, that's why I'm like saying some people from the board. If we define a household constitutes of 5 people in one unit. So we are housing 5 people in one house.
It means 5
if for 10 households. Two units.
No.
Let me put it like this.
No, therefore, let the policeman explain that.
Yeah. Yes, well, what we should understand, the members should understand that there is a family unit, and depending on the communities, we have the important, we profile the family unit. And in one family unit, you might find a colony, an extended family. But that family can qualify as a household. However, you may have an extended family in the backyard, in the same yard or in the same unit. You may have other people renting. You may have other people staying, the elderly children who are at various stages. Some are using garages where you park cars. And then all of those are called households. Now, sometimes there's no housing unit. You only install services. How do you measure that? You say household benefited. So you also differentiate for those that have benefited with houses and those that have benefited only services. We have to be very clear on that one. Yes. And if we do not include the rural scenario, that can be even bigger. It might even complicate it, because when you go into a rural situation, a household might mean a block in terms of what is in urban areas. And that is where we disagree, because the standards that other departments are using are lower than ours, because we are saying a household in this context. And I think we should understand it in that fashion.
Let's have the extension, because when we are reporting to the nation, we must report into a clear barrel. It doesn't matter why it's not. Let's have the extension on this. Because we no one understanding a household. Africans. Extended family. But in terms of government, there should be a policy or a standard norm that says Tina as Department of Human Settlement. The household indawo enabantu abahlanu. And then if you are saying sinalendawo enabantu abahlanu, which means we are going to provide a house for these 5 people, which means that is one unit. So for 10 people, we are going to provide 2 units. So if our starting point, if our starting point is there, it's going to be easy now to say how much have we delivered in terms of the president's directive. From people we moved from the because upgrading of informal settlements, move in situ upgrading, and the people that were moved away, then you put them there. There are those people who are not in the informal settlements. They are at the backyard dwellers. Where do they fall in this? You know, Sister Lebanon reported 2014 manifest, of which we need to give us clear reporting, massive report. Yeah, I'm going to again, excuse me. Let's continue, see Mamele's report.
Sure.
Mabusa.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, actually, I'm confused.
You see, why is Chair and say I'm confused? You see, when the CFO was explaining, I tried to understand. But when the police is now explaining, it now changed the whole idea of what she has said. So I'm agreeing with you when you're saying we have to have a day in order to understand this. Because if you are, my understanding, if you are talking about the household, if my extended family, according to me, is the household, because they are in my family, they are part of my family.
No.
status themselves, mina lokuthi applicant we got extended kodwa akubekho ukuyipholisi kumthetho obekwa ngugovernment and standard time balungile ukulandelayo nabona balithola but kufuneka kube phakwanxa household kuexpressa njengoba kunabantu abahlala uba kunabantu abamozan 5 abo bantu kufuneka baphume bayofunelwa eyabo indlu bangabikho phakwam kodwa abasonge yezekelo
we are trying to set up a trend of reporting to the nation.
You know, there will always be, you know, variations. In other instances, you'll have three people consulting that household instead of five. So you will have a situation where they are 10, like at home, we are 10. So you can't say we must go and build something somewhere. So there will be such instances. So, yeah, but at least we must, yeah.
Up until we must take people for granted, council members. I want to know, me, if I put them, we politicians, people are listening to you, and they are scrutinizing whatever you are saying. As a very heavy department. But I said, so you need to get clarity of what is reported to you. You don't know what women now, women call. What? As I'm getting out of 2009, such as 1, 2, 3, 4, since then, since Mizarisha, and this portfolio committee, you oversight here to the department, what have we done? Because people are going to be judged. Is the portfolio committee.
So,
I was upset when I reported, so we reject. But you were forward, you go back. Let's have it. It's a long time you get reporting it. So, I'm getting another reporting it. So, I can't do it in the meantime. Ni pa ite jita mar.
Okay. I hope they heard what I said saying.
Can we agree to say, given what the discussion, we will leave this slide because it will take us back to the discussion that we had, and then we move to the issue of the NAF program, if the chair agrees.
Okay, no, it's fine.
Thank you. Slide 15. In terms of the National Upgrading Support Program, the objective of this program is to provide technical assistance, and what we have done as a department is in this area is that we are in the process of appointing the service provider to assist with the upgrading strategies and plans, and in the process we want to determine the assistance needed in the following cities and municipalities. You will see here, Chairperson, that we are implementing this in a phased-in approach. We have targeted specific municipalities and cities. For example, in the Eastern Cape, we've got Buffalo City, Goa, and so on. I'm not going to read all of them. Yes. This process is already underway.
I can't see where from what municipalities you are coming from. They're in a Friday.
Matikama.
I can't see something that relates to Matikama.
There is a program that is NUSP there. But I'm just highlighting. You can understand.
That one.
We will take note of that, Chairperson. It will be part of the next phase.
Now that you mentioned KZN, Lakshmi and others, well, I think you can give us an idea of when you see the property, all the specific upgrading plans underway. And then at some terms, but we don't know which one. If you can just see if you have mentioned the names there, and in the other provinces.
Not now.
I think we report here in my listening now 49 municipalities that have been identified for this program. So Kufne 49 Apumeapa, it puma young benja. But if there is an additional, there's no problem. Because Galobu Apo Funeral intervention corner. I saw Sean in Domani way the intervention. But as much as long as you are going to be able to motivate that and when you are reporting on it. I'm sure there's a monster that much of there's nothing, there's no specification of the municipalities that have been identified. And in the other municipalities as a challenge, informal settlements. I office in Yam, the piling act, the informal settlements, the Funeral Yofar and Manga Man, German Shelaraj. So I'm trying to say, in your reporting, Funeral Nigam, which is not accurate.
Thank you, Chairperson. Under Flag 17, this is now the provisioning of well-located rental accommodation. With your permission, Chairperson, can we include it also in that other lot that we will clarify when we have that workshop,
right,
so that we align our reporting? I'm on slide 18. That now puts us on slide number 19, which is part of outcome 8. We are reporting here what we have done under the accreditation of the municipalities. The department has managed to accredit 8 municipalities on level 1, and on level 2, we have managed to accredit 8 metro, 11 district municipalities. The implementation protocols have been concluded on 24 municipalities. And on assignment, which is level 3 accreditation of metros, the SFC has responded by identifying a number of operational issues that needed to be addressed. We are still addressing those areas that have been identified by the SSC.
SSC, une complaint yobani na you are not cooperating. So siyavumelana ke sikhona izitha ezika 2012 ezingenamva ezisa last year. Senis addressing the challenge is raised with FSC. And that's not piece of that. One of me head.
That's my area of work, ma'am. I actually, at the time, that means during the first quarter, it is true that this was a snapshot of the summary of what was happening. And I can as well indicate, before I respond, that the last bullet indicates that the proclamation by the premiers is under review, so the dates have relatively changed. I would like to indicate that there are municipalities. We have a total of 27 municipalities that we have worked on cumulatively. That means from the beginning until where we are. Now, some of them are at various levels, and they are graduating from level 1 to level 2, level 2, and so on. So at the moment, we do not have municipalities that have been accredited for level 3, but these metros that are targeted are at the advanced stage of level 2, and they are working towards level 3 of full accreditation. And it might help to just have just an indication or a feel of which metros are being considered
for level 3, which municipality then level 1, and which municipality is level 2, because all of them are accredited. A municipality that was level 1 at some stage will be level 2 in the process, and eventually be level 3. The metros were at level 1 at some stage, they are now at the advanced level 2, and we hope that we will be able, there is a certain criteria that the FFC has indicated in terms of measuring the processes. And at the moment, I cannot name or read out the municipalities. I know them.
FFC was here and you were here. Members, FFC was here and they were here. Those issues that were raised by the FSC in relation to the accreditation, because the mandate of the FSC is the legislative mandate of HSC. FSC. Because the result report on the report of April, May, June, the first quarter of the financial year. Is it a new challenge or it's an old challenge?
Before this quarter, we did not have the complete FFC report. The signed off FFC report came during this quarter. And we are working on the FFC recommendations. Some of them we have satisfied relatively. Some of them are being extended to. There are those conditions that need to be attended that can be addressed within one financial year. And then there are issues related, those are maybe, I can just give an example, issues of the process of transfer of projects. There are those projects that the FFC says, if the project is at this level, it will last, it needs so many months to hand over, maybe a year. If personnel is to be transferred, it will take maybe 1 year. But there are immovable properties like complexes, which will take, according to even the FFC, will take more than 3 years in terms of the normal process of transfer. However, there are those, FFC is clear in those issues that can be addressed immediately. And there it also says it gives us a map going forward. This is what you must do. The province must do, this is what the national responsibility, this is what the receiving municipality. Those issues are tabled out.
Pastor Vumela, I will get that much please. Next week, we have to have a lab, and now we have a lab. So, we have a little minute, but I'm going to talk to you. But what is important here, we have requested, you have one of the problems, it challenges now. We have requested Nina Wood, it should take a policy accreditation. Nithinte ipolicy accreditation. Thina honourable members sisabambelele kwendala. Sisazi indebe yendala. Basishile. And we have raised that honourable matala. I think beginning of this year. Okanye mhlawumbe betshintsha loo policy. Remember, guys, you have changed the policy. Please, can you bring that policy before us? So that we oversee your policy. And we even requested them that we are trying to avoid a situation whereby the officer has covered among them. Because what we are overseeing here, a policy that is going to advance the objectives of government. Now, we're talking about policies in the and I'm about to get to the society. I'm whatever they are doing, and the good plasticity is only the policy. You need to be brief. And that is before you pass, you adopt any policy, it must come before this portfolio committee, because it has to be blessed by us. Because it's in a contradiction. Because when you are complaining, not the police are by adopting it, you know the corrections. Up to one. Had to bring that. so that it works. But Mark could the young body portfolio committee then have a last line to win that. They continued or adopt a winning leg by implementer. So they implemented him Kunenkaki. So for the premier is getting the accreditation. As that's why premiers is getting the accreditation of the municipalities. As that. As that's the implications. Valet. Only the sister, what about level one? If something about level two. It's not what about the level two. Because we have been complaining about the accreditation. Who has accredited when I'm honest from my time? Well, we're going to look at it. Now it's my little update of that guy. Who can have accredited? He say accredited. So relax. My mother said, let's say has repeated. So that is why I'm trying to follow the humble song. And these are my problems in doing it with Shia. And these are just any dead. And in the local center, so I'm going to say fast in Lenya. In any path. You know, this is in the rules of this distinct. But we are in one path. At the end of the day, the path stops to us. You develop policies, we oversee that the policies that we have been developing. But we have to make sure that those policies, what is the purpose, the end, the objective of that policy that we have. So they are going to see each other. After that, we will be strong.
You recall there was a resolution of this committee that you requested that the funds come and present on accreditation. We should not move to the next level. This is after our planning process, and unfortunately, come across we are continuing. No, Chairperson, we have listened. We are formally writing, requested the committee to give us a date for us to come and discuss and bring the policy that you're talking about so that we can be guided by the committee. But this process was obviously emotional at that stage, and we would obviously take the blows for certain errors that we might have omitted in the process. We're definitely requesting Dave to come and present this. Just for the record, she said last week, the panel that was appointed by the department did report to the minister. She had taken a decision, but it's not for me to communicate that decision. Because this is a program that she needs to go and check with the cabinet that are we still in line with what we planned to do. So, but she will communicate that with you at the same time, probably tomorrow, because this is also part of the report, of the annual report.
Interrogate this report. There's no other under my own calendar, you can do it. What about that? So, please, in business, it's a fairly fundy, sir.
Okay. I'm worried about the premiers in the
involvement. They will come, last the table, or the report from committee by negative date. I can finalize well, and I know, hey, my family will come, believe, but they will be too much of a man.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm on slide 20. I'm sure the portfolio committee is aware of the performance in terms of the allocation of well-located land for human settlement. The performance by our entity, Housing Development Agency. As it stands, we have already exceeded the 6,150 hectares that was set for the 2014 target, as the delivery stands at 7,477 hectares. Now, in brackets, I think the portfolio committee has requested disparity in terms of why these particular provinces and not the others. We have indicated before that also in order for the HDA to perform, they also need to find the safe level agreement within the provinces. So if they are not coming forward, it's a process issue. So these provinces have already they've got an agreement with the HDA. The second point that I would want to elevate on this slide is the cooperation that the department is getting from the release of land from the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. They have really been very cooperative with the department where we identify the land, they are supporting us going forward. Just in a nutshell, in terms of the provisioning of the well-located land for human settlement performance, we have exceeded the 2014 target, but we have not stopped. We are still continuing. And there are some provinces where we need to assist going forward.
May I propose, I think the COO has got only two slides left, then it will be financial report. Let's deal with her so that she finishes, then when we come back it will be the CFO report.
Thank you, Chair. In terms of the output 4, still under the outcome 8, this talks to the improved property market. The first part is our performance in terms of the mortgage default insurance scheme. Chair, let me indicate that the department has been assisted by our entity, NHSC, in terms of coming up with a financial delivery model in response to the announcement that was done by the President. We are working together here with National Treasury. So where we are now at this stage, in order to move forward, we are just waiting for the concurrence from the National Treasury for the NDI so that we can move to the implementation. What also I can indicate here, Chairperson, is that initially it was announced as a guarantee scheme. But under the thorough investigation, the proposal that was going to enable us to achieve what is required here, we are looking at the capitalization delivery model. The next slide is also related to the MBI. This is in relation to the gas market. The performance of the fleet.
When did you last have a meeting with the National Treasury with MDI? Because in our PH information, this thing has been resolved. Check it out, one of them. I'll correct you. In fact, you need to bring it.
Chairperson, I don't have the exact date, but what I know is that we need this concurrence from the National Treasury. That's why we always follow up with the National Treasury through our NHSC in order for us to move forward to the implementation phase.
You see, Chair, part of the package, that because we had a meeting with the Deputy Minister of Treasury, where we dealt with the issue of capitalization. We had a meeting with him.
Not to our knowledge as far as the problem is being resolved, but I think the last communication that we had was when our DG met with the DG of National Treasury together with the NHSC, and they were still that element of who is to take the risk? How do we share the risk between ourselves and the banks moving forward? Now, to us, that has not been resolved. As a result, hence, we are still indicating that the matter is still outstanding.
So we will be, it will be to our best interest to know exactly what the outcomes of the discussion that have been held outside perhaps the Director General.
Ithini lelo? Ndiyayazi njalo ndaba. Ndiqinisekile izinto. But xa niqala ngoku nisithi niseza nisaproposa, are you not busy with the reviewer currently? Reviewer. So ithini lelo? Misele uba kube ne-sections ethile from i-Housing Act enizawukhalela nizi-amend. What does it mean? Before the final green tape. Ithini lento, but I understand the policy in the umbrella. Because those are the issues I think, these issues were raised as from 2000. But there is a problem here. Ithini lento yethu. Kubantu abasivele sibe nibhala amaphepha nibhala ifake i-inka into engingakwazi ukuyilanda.
Chairperson, this matter is raising attention because of the frustration that comes with the MDI matter. We were trying to say how best to make sure that the fear of the bank has been taken care of. We understand what you're saying, Chair, that are we not maybe jumping the gun because we're still going to
be... You remember, because we knew that there's going to be these issues. How are you going to address them? Now we have decided to put it here, which is by address. So, the first parliament, the end of April. Intention to amend the clauses that are problematic, that are hindering, that are hampering.
From what I know, the NHFC, ourselves as a department, we have a draft which we are going to present. It has not reached the department. It has not reached the state. But the intention is that we don't have to wait for the green paper.
Okay.
At that time, we don't have to wait for the green paper. We can only amend those areas that are inhibiting progress. This is what we are saying. And through our the legislative process, this is what is on the way to the portfolio committee. So we cannot report on the second quarter, and these things have not happened. They have not happened, and we have to accept as a department where we delayed, and this delay are life. They are there. We have somehow delayed in our system. Because we are not alone in this. Maybe we failed to mobilize the resources on time.
Thank you, Chair. Let me maybe just make 2 points on slide 22.
Right.
This is in relation to the flip. We have taken the guidance of the portfolio committee. Now the flip is not going to be implemented per project.
It's also going to be accessible to individuals. And secondly, that we have approached the Big Four banks, and they are in support of this project, of assisting the department in the delivery of the in the performance of the gas market. However, we must also indicate that there is a major challenge which does not necessarily is being imposed by the banks, but it's just the nature of the credit environment. Chairperson, you will know that also we've got the National Credit Act that also provides the guidance in terms of the banks as to where can they lend, to who and at how much. Last week there has been an issue, if I think correctly, it was last week, there has been an issue on the news of the African Bank. The National Credit Act is there to ensure that there is no reckless lending. So in a nutshell, also the banks, they are doing their best not to support one thing to say they are lending recklessly in this market, and that is a challenge for this market going forward. It's the individual, to the individual. The market meaning the gas market, the individual people within the sector. It's what I've just explained. Very individual. Yes. Chairperson, just briefly on slide 23, this is the performance of the loans that have been granted by our institutions in support of the performance within the human settlement. Also, these are accumulative as part of the outcome rate. For example, the NHSC, they have granted 1,810 loans, which constitutes 93.8% of the 2014 target. This is, and the next one, this is incremental housing loans, which has been provided by the NHSC and so on. This is just a snapshot of the loans granted by human settlement institutions in support of delivery of the outcome aid. The next slide, Chairperson, I think this one should constitute that discussion that we are going to have, that one day workshop, and so is the next one. With your permission, Chairperson, Mr. Mapisa will conclude here on the application of municipality.